Welcome to the Nations Church Port Kennedy podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
I love the Word of God. In fact, can I just ask, did anyone bring your physical Bible with you today? If you did, wave it in the air. Let's get the physical. Oh, come on, me and one. There's four, five, six Bibles in church today. Let's go. I'm calling it the Bible Revival. We're bringing it back. Make paper great again, you know? We're going to make hats and sell them after the service. Make paper great again. Anyway, I want to go to a passage of Scripture in the book of Mark, chapter number 5. And so if you have your physical Bible, turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 5. If you don't have your physical Bible, you've got your phone Bible, go there too. It's also going to be on the screen behind me. We're going to pick it up in verse number 25. Then we'll pray. Then I'll release the minstrel to head back to a seat in just a moment. It says this in verse 25. Are you there? Awesome. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. How do you know that's a long time to suffer? She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years she had spent everything she had to pay them, but she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. How many of you know sometimes before a breakthrough, your situation doesn't get better, it gets worse? She had heard, someone say heard. She had heard about Jesus. I just wonder who did she hear about Jesus from? The very reason she's in this story is because someone was faithful to share their testimony. We must never despise how powerful it is to share our testimony, no matter how big or small, because she had heard about Jesus because of the reports of Jesus. So she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe, for she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. Immediately, someone say immediately, the bleeding stopped and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out from him. So he turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my robe? His disciples said to him, look at this crowd pressing around you. How can you ask who touched me? But he kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell to her knees in front of him and told him what he had done. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. I love that. Daughter, how kind is Jesus? She wouldn't have heard these words for possibly 12 years, because in that day, in that time, to have constant bleeding would make you ceremonially unclean. And that was a big deal. That meant you couldn't come into contact with anyone else. So she was in isolation. She was in abandonment. She was in rejection for 12 full years. And the first time she musters up the courage to come into contact with someone, the very first word she hears is this, daughter. And then he doesn't just say daughter, he says, daughter, your faith has made you well. What's interesting is Jesus didn't say, daughter, my power has made you well. He doesn't say, daughter, it was this atmosphere that made you well. No, no, Jesus actually uses this healing as a teaching moment for us to say, hey, everyone around this woman that's just been healed, everyone that's just saw me stop, I want to make a statement to you today that yes, my power is here. Yes, this atmosphere is electric. Yes, God is in this moment. But the very variable that allowed the healing power to flow, make no mistake about it, it was her faith that caused this to happen. Turn to your neighbor and say, your faith. I want to submit to us today that when it comes to what God is wanting to do in your life and in my life, we actually have a part to play. That God is wanting to move in you. And I even just believe prophetically 2024 is going to be a year of great breakthroughs. I believe it's going to be a year where you hear the voice of God with incredible clarity. I believe there's many of you that you've been believing for a long-term breakthrough. In fact, when I spoke earlier about 12 years of suffering, you related with that straight away, because there's a situation that's been going on for too long in your life. And I believe 2024 is a year of deliverance, of freedom and breakthrough for you, for your family, for your household. But just as it was for this woman, I believe so it is for us, that we actually have a part to play. That God isn't just looking at his power, he's looking at your faith. And so this morning, I want to talk on this topic, stewarding your expectation. Because I believe that when we can grow to a place of stewardship of our own expectation, we can position ourselves best for what God wants to do. Come on, would you lift your hands all across this room? Father, I thank you that you're here. Holy Spirit, I welcome you. I'll just take a moment and behold him. Allow your heart to fall in love with the Son of God. He's so holy. He's so worthy. There's no one like him in the heavens and the earth. There's none beside him. He has holes in his hands, scars on his side. He wore a crown of thorns on his head. Jesus, you're worthy. Jesus, you're beautiful. Jesus, you're wonderful. We love you with all that we are today. We love you with all of our mind today. We love you with all of our heart today. Oh, Jesus, you are so good. You are so righteous. You're so wonderful, Lord. I thank you, God, for what you're wanting to do in people's lives in this room. And I ask, Father, that you would teach us by your Spirit how to steward our expectation in a way that sets us up to encounter you. We don't just want to touch your clothes, Lord. We want to experience your power. So God, I even ask, let the garment of the Lord, the same garment that touched this woman that day, would it touch this room today? Would there be healings? Would there be miracles? Would there be hope restored? Would there be an impartation of the gift of faith? I pray for those that are struggling, and I really get this sense, those that are struggling with disappointment. Father God, I ask that disappointment would come out, and I ask that faith would go in, that disappointment would be removed, and there'd be a releasing of hope, of faith, and the gift of expectation into this room today. We give you all honor. We give you all glory, give you all praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said, can we just give Jesus a mighty clap of praise? Come on, let's just praise God right now for what he's about to do today. Oh, just for 10 seconds, just honor the King of Kings. We just love you, God. You are so wonderful. You are so worthy, God. You're wonderful, Jesus. Amen. Amen, amen. You can take your seat. Thank you so much, Maddie. Can we give it up for the worship team? Amazing. Stewarding your expectation. I have a question for you today. Have you ever had a moment where you've walked into church and it was like the moment you walked into the room, the atmosphere felt like God was in it? It's like you walked in, it's like God was present, you know, the air was palpable, the Spirit of God was in that place. It's like, man, my goodness, it's like your heart knows something significant is about to take place. I remember I was living in New Zealand in 2012. And I was doing an internship at a church there called City Impact Church. And I remember I was doing a new Christians course at the time. And part of the course, they had a teaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And they taught on the Tuesday night. And then they said, hey, on the Sunday, we're going to have an altar call to pray for the baptism of the Spirit. And they said, if you've been baptized in the Spirit already and you can, you know, pray in tongues, you've been filled with God, we want to encourage you to come hungry, to come expectant, to come ready for an encounter with God. Or if you've never been touched by God before, you've never been filled, we want to encourage you to come hungry, to come expectant, to come ready for an encounter with God. They said, hey, this week between Tuesday and Sunday, why don't you pray? Why don't you seek God? Why don't you fast? Why don't you get yourself ready for that night? And so I really took that on board. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to pray intentionally for what God wants to do on Sunday. And I was interning at the church. And so I had a whole day on Wednesday and I was cleaning out a storeroom. How many of you know church storerooms are a complete mess? Come on. I've got a big amen from Pastor Mark down the front. And not only was this storeroom a mess, but there was these... Does anyone know those like polystyrene bead balls? Okay, the room knows. The room knows. They have this spell on them where they multiply over and over. You think you've cleaned them all. You don't realize there's another 10,000 around there. I remember cleaning it up all day and I would get the pile together and I was like, awesome. I'd get the dustpan and brush and then a gust of wind would come and blow it all over. And it was incredibly challenging, I'm not going to lie. But while I'm frustrated and cleaning for, honestly, the full day cleaning, I decide I'm not just going to clean, I'm going to pray and clean. How many of you know you can talk to God at all times? How good is that? And so I was praying and my prayer was something like this. God, would you move on Sunday? God, would you touch me on Sunday? God, would you fill me with your spirit on Sunday? I pray that you would mark my life. God, I pray that you would speak to me. I ask that you would fill me with your spirit. And, you know, language kind of like this throughout the whole day. And I was praying in tongues at the same time. And I was praying in English. And I was just asking God for about 8 hours, praying. Fast forward with me to the Sunday. I get to that Sunday night service. And I walk in the room. And it was exactly like what I described to you before. The moment I walked in at the back of the auditorium, it was like the air was palpable with the presence of God. Have you ever had those services? And it's like we're singing the exact same song we sang the other week, but your heart's just connecting with every lyric. It's like, oh my gosh, the love of God is reckless. It is chasing me down. It is amazing. You know, the preacher gets up and every word they say, it's like it's piercing your heart. Your heart's trembling. They're doing an offering message and it's like, I got to give more money than I thought. You know, you're dumping in extra because of just how God's moving in your life. And I'll never forget feeling so stirred, feeling so touched. And then the moment came for the altar call. They invited us front. I went to the front. Someone prayed for me. And it was like pins and needles all over my body. I got tingles all up and down. I felt the presence of God come upon me. I felt the Spirit of God fill me. I felt a wave of refreshment come over me. I had an encounter with God, tears in my eyes. God came. He intervened in my life. He ministered to me. He met me at that altar. But I felt God taught me a very valuable lesson that day. And it's simply this, that what God wants to do in my life isn't totally up to Him. I actually have a part to play. And I wonder that service where God marked me. We've all, if you've been following Jesus, you've probably had a time as well where God has marked you. And I want you to remember that day and ask yourself, how many other people came to the exact same service, the exact same day, at the exact same time, but didn't have the experience or moment with Jesus that you had? See, sometimes we can be in the very atmosphere of heaven. We can be in the very anointing of God. We can be very present with Jesus. But because there is a lack of expectation in our heart, it actually limits what God is wanting to do in our lives. And people would have come to that same service on that same Sunday, come and gone totally unchanged, not because God changed, but because their expectation was different. And we see that in this very passage of Scripture. The same Jesus is present. The same anointing He's carrying. It's the same time. It's the same season. It's the same air. It's the same people. But one person touched Him, not just in hope, but touched Him with expectation. And when she did, power flowed through Him and healed her body. See, many people touched His clothes, but she experienced His power. And how did this happen? I want to submit to you that she had an expectation that no one else had. And because of that, she got an experience no one else had. You know, what is expectation? Put simply, expectation is simply a strong belief that something will happen. Many people pressed up against Jesus that day. Jesus was very anointed. He was carrying the very power of God. Many people touched Jesus physically that day, but according to the Bible, one woman touched Jesus with a strong belief that something would happen. And we see that that strong belief is literally the conduit that God used to flow through and touch her so that she didn't just touch His clothes, but she got a breakthrough from His very hand of power. You know, I believe God is wanting to take us from infancy to maturity when it comes to stewarding our expectation. See, when we get born again, when you invite Jesus into your life as your Lord and as your Savior, we all start as babes or infants in Christ, where it's got nothing to do with us. We didn't choose it. We didn't earn it. It's not even our faith or our seeking God. It's just God divinely comes in and reaches out and introduces Himself to us. You know, the Bible says that we were dead in sin, but because of the great love with which God loved us, He actually sent Jesus to die for us. He reached out to us. It is by grace you have been saved. I remember the first time I came to church, I didn't pray that week. I didn't seek God that week. I was an evil child, let's be honest, you know. Some of you feel like, that's me, that's my son. No. I was just a kid, you know. I wasn't a Christian. I was just sure, I believed in God, but my behavior wasn't very good. I wasn't very holy. But I just happened to come into a service. Someone placed their hand on my head, and I felt this lightning bolt of God's power strike my body. I fell to the ground. I cried on the floor for 2 hours as the love of God became real to me in a moment. See, God introduced himself to me, and it had nothing to do with me. And most of us, we start our Christian journey that way. We come to church and God introduces himself to us, or someone talks to us. We have an encounter with God. We have a divine moment with God where the sovereignty of God breaks into our life and God introduces himself to us. But I want to submit to you, it's not God's intention to keep you at a point of only depending on the sovereignty of God. He wants to grow us from infancy into maturity where we're not waiting for just the sovereignty of God, but we have learned how to steward our own expectation to position our own selves for what God wants to do in our life. You know, when you're a child, you are dependent on your parent to feed you everything necessary. But as you get older, you learn how to get yourself to the fridge. You learn how to open up the peanut butter jar yourself and get the bread out the pantry. Come on, some parents know what I'm talking about today. Your teenagers, they know how to get the food. Why? Because they're not dependent in infancy. They've grown into a bit of maturity where they're like, I'm not going to wait until my parents decide to feed me. I'm hungry right now, so I'm going to get myself to the kitchen. And I believe God's wanting to do the same with us as children of God. Whereas I'm not going to wait for the next divine opportunity that just so happens. I'm going to get myself to the kitchen of God's word. I'm going to get myself to the pantry of the altar. I'm going to get myself into the very presence of God. Why? Because I'm hungry for more of him. God is wanting to take us from infancy to maturity. And I believe a part of that is stewarding our expectation. And so I guess a question to ask ourselves is, how do we steward our expectations? Someone say, how do we steward? It's a great question. Thank you so much for asking that. I want to just give you 3 quick points today, and it's not exhaustive. It's just a few thoughts that I believe will help you steward your expectation so that when Jesus passes by, as he will many times this year, you don't just touch his clothes, but you experience his power. Is this okay so far? Point number one I want to suggest to you is this. Expectation starts with a thought. Mark 5 verse 28, for she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. She thought to herself. The Bible does not say God told her to think. It doesn't say her rabbi told her to think. The Bible records the initiator of the thought was actually the woman herself. Did you know your thoughts have incredible power in your life? The Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Which means that your thoughts can determine your realities. And I believe if we want to steward our expectation, we actually need to grow from a place of infancy to maturity in the realm of our thoughts, where we're no longer a victim of every thought that comes our way, but we deliberately choose to focus on the thoughts we want to focus on and remove the thoughts we don't want to remove. See, your thought life is the very breeding ground of expectation. Your thoughts are the seedbed of expectation. And so often we don't realize it, but our thoughts are either implanting faith, producing expectation in us, or creating offense, robbing us of expectation. I found so often in my life, when it comes to God wanting to move in a new way or do something new in my life, oftentimes it's not wrapped up in comfort, it's wrapped up in offense. Sometimes the very thing that frustrates you and offends you in church life is the very way God wants to minister to your life. You might be like, man, why do we do this at Connects? I wish we just wouldn't do those videos. I wish we just read the Bible ourselves. You know, no one's teaching us to read the Bible. And sometimes that's the very way that God is wanting to speak to you that day. Well, you might be like, well, how can you say that, Matt? How can you justify that? Well, the scripture shows us that Jesus oftentimes places a rock of offense in front of people, not to turn them away, but to test the content of their heart to produce humility in them so that they can submit to him. We see there's this one woman, a Syrophoenician woman, who has a daughter at home who's struggling with a demon. And she comes to Jesus trying to get deliverance. How many of you know if your daughter has a demon, trying to get deliverance is a good idea? Amen. Don't lift your hand if that's you. And so she's on her way and she tries to get to the disciples. And the disciples says, don't worry. sorry, don't bother the teacher, get out of here. And then she's like, that's a bit rude. And so she pushes past them. She gets to Jesus. This is Jesus, the Son of God. And she says, Master or Rabbi, my daughter is at home with a demon, but if you come and lay your hand on her, she'll be made well. And then Jesus' response was this, woman, it's not right to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. Have you ever considered that maybe that felt a little bit harsh for the woman to hear? In other words, the people of Israel are the children of God. You as a Gentile are not, so you are considered a dog in this passage, not even worthy of sitting at the table. It's not right to take from them because Jesus' ministry first came to Israel. He first came to heal Israel. He first came to preach to Israel. He first came to deliver Israel. And so he says, it's not right to take it from them and give it to you. What was Jesus doing? He did not say this because he wanted to turn her away. In his sovereignty, he already knew how she was going to respond. He said this to test the content of her heart. That this woman had a choice to make. I can choose to be offended and leave and say, that preacher wasn't very nice. You wouldn't believe what they say at that church over there. You wouldn't believe the way their welcome team treated me. Hello, somebody. You wouldn't believe the way that I had someone pray for me. You're not going to believe what they said to me. She could choose to allow offense to turn her away, or she could choose to allow the offense to produce humility in her. And I love her response. She says, Master, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from under the master's table. In other words, if this is a situation and it's even the dogs, it's not right to take from the children and give to the dogs, then if that's the position it's going to require, then I'm going to get up underneath. I'm going to come up underneath this teaching. I'm going to come in humility. I'm going to come in low. I'm going to come in submission. I'm going to come in respect. And Jesus is so astounded with her faith. He says, go, your daughter's been healed this very moment. Jesus always desired to heal the daughter, but he wanted to teach us a lesson that sometimes offense will come not to turn us away, but to produce humility in us so that we can submit to God still, so that we can come hungry to God still, so that we can come seeking God still and receive what he has for us. So often I meet Christians that want God to move, but also want to prescribe the way he moves. It's like, if God wants to speak to me, he can speak to me up the back of the room. He knows where I am. He can speak to you at the back of the room. But did you know this? You can actually position yourself to hear him better. Oh, if God wants to move in my life, he knows how to find me. He does know how to find you. But do you know how to find him? Oh, you know, I don't want to have that falling over stuff. I don't want to look like a clown. And I'm a respectable person. I care about what people think of me. Well, has it ever occurred to you that maybe the very environment God is wanting to speak to you or heal you or touch you might be in a way that makes you look silly to other people? Why? Because he's more interested in your heart of humility than he is about you looking good in front of other people. Come on. So many times we rob ourselves of breakthroughs, of things God's wanting to do in us because we care more about what people think than what God has to say. And I believe the rocks of offense are our opportunities to come in with humility, to come in with hunger, to come in low and position ourselves for what God wants to do in us. Number one, expectation starts with a thought. You might be in a service, you might be at a connect group, and you start to have thoughts like, man, who does this dude think he is? Man, he hasn't even lived life. You know, I'm not talking about me, person down the road. What is this person even doing? And before we even realize it, our thoughts are disqualifying us from receiving from this very person. I don't know about you. I want to be someone that whether it's a four-year-old on a stage, whether it's some elderly person in a car park somewhere, whether it's my pastor, my connect group leader, even the leader that I have at church that's different to me, that, you know, has a theological different bend to me on different topics that we disagree about stuff. I want to have a heart of humility that says, God, if that's the person you're wanting to speak to me through, that's the way that the breakthrough's coming, if that's what the crumbs from the table look like, I want to come in low. I want to come in humble. I want to come in hungry. Why? Because I want more of you than I care about what other people have to say about me. Point number one, expectation starts with a thought. Philippians 4 says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, excellent, praiseworthy, think about such things. The Bible says that because you and I have the power to choose what we think about. you are not at the mercy of your thoughts. You can actually choose deliberately what you want to think about. Point number one, expectation starts with a thought. Point number two, expectation moves us to action. Is this okay so far? I haven't come to offend you. Just kidding. I have. No, I haven't. Or have I? Just keeping you on your toes. I honestly haven't. This is just something that I feel like God has, I suppose, spoken and stirred in me. And I'm not saying this from any place of I'm better than or come up to where I am. No. This is just a place of I'm so believing that God wants to mark your life this year. God so wants to speak to you this year. And my role really today is I just want to lay some scriptural foundations that sets you up with faith and expectation so that when Jesus comes by, you don't just touch his clothes, but you experience his power. The Bible says in the book of James 2, verse 17, also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works and I'll show you my faith by my works. I love this. James is saying, if you want to know what I believe, you don't need to hear it from my mouth. You can see it from my actions. I want to ask you, what are your actions communicating about your expectation? You know, recently, a few months ago, we had the Oscars on TV. Did anyone watch the Oscars by any chance? Okay, me neither. Praise God. And so, however, I have seen these little clips made of them where it's like they have the announcement for like the best actor or the best director. And what they do is they zoom into all seven nominees, nice, close, uptight shot so you can see their emotions, so you can see their experience. And then they announce, and the winner of the best picture is Christopher Nolan. And you see Christopher Nolan, he smiles, he, you know, gets up. And then you see six other directors pretend they're happy for Christopher Nolan as the camera is on their face. You know, and so you get to see it. But I've noticed that there's a huge difference between those nominated and those not when it comes to that moment. See, those that are nominated for an award, that camera that's on them, they're not talking to their friend, they're not on their phone, they're not getting up, going to the bathroom. They are locked in to the very next words. They're leaning on the edge of their chair, their ears are open, they're paying attention. Why? Because there's an expectation in them that these next words actually matter to them. Their expectation is communicating something. Their behavior, is communicating something about their expectation. When we come to church, our behavior actually matters. Our behavior, according to James, communicates the expectation that we have. What is your behavior communicating about your expectation? We encourage our leaders at youth ministry to distract people next to them by yesing and amening the preacher. Because we have kids come on their phone and they're on Snapchat, they're scrolling, they're falling asleep, this, that, and the other. They're trying to go in the car park and, you know, just all this stuff. But can I tell you, they might be on Snapchat, but the moment they've got a leader next to them who say, come on, it's good, preach it. But they're like, what the heck is going on? You know what I mean? But before they know it, they can't be on their phone anymore because they're distracted by what's happening in the room. See, the expectation of this person is now having an effect on this person, and it opens up their heart to encounter God. I've seen young people come from not Christian backgrounds, not Christian schools, not really Christian friends, and have radical encounters with God where God touches them, God heals them, they get saved. Why? Because they were in a room full of expectation. They were in a room full of hunger. They were in a room full of thirst, where people didn't just say, I'm expecting, but they choose to allow the expectation to produce actions, and they clap, they yes, they amen, they lean in. Why? Because expectation looks like something. There's a reason why in church we yes and amen. The Bible says the power of life and death is in the tongue. When you say, I agree, yes, that's good preaching, you are creating a spiritual atmosphere with your words. You are literally creating a realm of faith that allows people next to you to hear and encounter God too. When we're leaning in, I have my phone open. Why? Because the moment the Holy Spirit highlights something to me, I don't want to be like, oh, where's my phone gone? I need it. No, I want to write it down straight away, not because I'm caring that this person's got something good to say, but because I know God has got something he's trying to say, and I'm here to hear his voice. I'm not coming to church to tick a box. I'm not coming in to Port Kennedy 9 a.m. service to tick off a roster. I'm here because I want an encounter with God. I'm here. The Bible says his mercies are new every day. And so if there's something new from God, I want to have an expectation that positions myself for that thing. I want to encourage you, your expectation starts with a thought. Your expectation moves you to action. And number three, expectation remains open-handed with the outcome.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. If you want to know more about our campus, you can go to nationschurch.com/au/Port Kennedy.